Okay, we're going to do this like every year. Do it in sections, and I won't accept any questions till we finish a section. Then I'll take questions on that section specifically, and then we'll go on. Okay, before we start about Pesach itself, remind people about Mol Schitim, that the mitzvah to give money that everybody should be able to enjoy Pesach, and be ikaritz for the kehila itself. So people should realize that, and those that have should be willing to give, and those that need should be willing to take. Okay. Secondly, there's a mitzvah of birchas ha'ilanos. Blossoming trees. I'm not going to go into the halachas of birchas ha'ilanos now, maybe on Shabbos. But the mitzvah probably applies even to women. But it's not a birchas ha-mitzvah, that women would be exempt because it's something that only comes every once in a while. But it's a birchas shevach v'hodah. And therefore, according to many opinions, women also should make that bracha. Okay. We'll start with cleaning the house. Okay. Like we say every year, Pesach cleaning is not spring cleaning, right, where you have to clean your house for whatever cleaning you want to do. If you want to do that, that's fine. But the main thing is to clean it for chametz, and women should not feel overly pressured and come to the Seder completely knocked out, because a woman has a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif too, and she has a mitzvah to be at the Seder mentally also. And therefore, a person should understand what the purpose of the cleaning is, do the things that are top priority chametz-wise, and leave the other things, if there's time and the ability to do them, to do them. But not to start with things, cleaning your screens or whatever other kinds of things you can do that will take time and not be any part of having to do with cleaning for chametz. Okay, so what is the minimum a person has to do to be yotze cleaning for the sake of chametz? So any place where you don't bring in chametz, ever, so you don't have to clean that place at all. Okay, if you have an attic and you never go up there with any kind of chametz, or you have rooms in your house that you are off limits to chametz, usually if you have little children crawling around the house, there are no places that are off limits for chametz, and you have to clean everywhere. Could be the attic, Taka, if you don't bring chametz into your attic, and little children don't go up there, that would be an example of some place that doesn't need any cleaning at all for Pesach. But every person, whatever in your home, you know, is off limits to bring food into that place, and you don't have little children that go even off limits with food into those places, you don't have to clean those places at all. Okay, the kalim that you're going to sell, a chametz stick of kalim, do not have to be cleaned perfectly. Right? You can just put them away and sell them with the dirt on them. If you want to clean your kalim special, that's your business. But it doesn't have to be done legabe Pesach cleaning. Okay. Any place where there can be crumbs, not a kezayis of chametz together, right? Not a nice half a slice of bread or something. It can only be crumbs, and the crumbs are things that you walked over or whatever and are not really edible. You don't have to make bedikas chametz. You don't have to even, what's it called, clean that area. And therefore, svarim. Okay, where even if you ate over the sefer, there's not going to be a sandwich left in the sefer, right, as a bookmark or whatever. But you're going to have little crumbs that may have fallen into the sefer. You do not have to go and check through all your svarim page by page. There are our opinions that say you do. If you don't want to do that, if you have a lot of svarim, you don't want to go through them. If you want to be yotze the more strict opinion, then you'll have to build a mechitza around those svarim and not use them during Pesach. In any event, svarim that you plan to bring to the table on Pesach that you did use around chametz, those have to be checked to make sure there's no crumbs and the crumbs don't fall into your food. But svarim you don't plan to bring to the table where you're eating do not have to be checked, cleaned for chametz. Okay, and you can use them on Pesach. The rooms that you are going to sell to the goy don't have to be cleaned. Just lock them up and sell whatever's in there together with the kalim that you're leaving in that room. Floors, okay, carpets. You don't have to get on your hands and knees with a magnifying glass to get every crumb out of your carpet or cracks in the floors. You just have to sweep them, vacuum them, the carpets, and wash the floor, and that's it. You don't have to do anything more to get on your knees and scrape with toothpicks where the bolatos have a connection, because whatever's there is bottle and is only crumbs, and you're walking on them, you wash them, and they're not edible anymore. Okay. Closets. Okay. Closets where you keep food have to be cleaned well. Make sure that there's no residue of food there that may get mixed into the food that you're putting in those food closets. You don't really have to cover the shelves after you clean them. The minig is to cover the shelves if you want to do it. If you don't want to, you don't have to do it. The children's toys are full of chametz, and children usually put them in their mouth also. So those should be either washed well, soaked in some kind of detergent or whatever, and that's sufficient. Or if you don't want to do that, then you should put them away with the chametz. And those toys the children shouldn't play with on Pesach. Same thing goes with benches, things that are constantly filled with chametz should be put away with your chametz and get special benches for Pesach. Usually people use their haggadahs for benches anyway. Clothing that was washed since you used it for chametz, even if there's chametz in the pocket, the washing already made it inedible, and there's probably only crumbs there anyway, unless you walk around with sandwiches in your pockets or whatever, then it could be more of a problem. Clothing that was sent to the dry cleaners, you don't have to check the pockets of those clothing, whatever. Clothing that you did put chametz in the pockets or ate with those clothing, and the chametz could have gone into the pockets or whatever, and they weren't cleaned, there you have to check the pockets to see that there's no crumbs or whatever that are edible. Okay. Things that are things that are heavy and you never move, unless something goes wrong and you have to call a professional to move it, to fix it or something, but otherwise you never move it, even if there's possibility there's chametz behind it, you don't have to move it, you just leave it and you're mevatel the chametz and that's enough. If sometimes you do move it to clean, right, then you have to move those things away and see if there's no chametz behind it or whatever. Okay, that's in general cleaning for Pesach. Any questions on this? General cleaning. Not kashering, just general cleaning, yeah?
Yes, Rabbi, you said that rooms that are sold to the goyim, you don't have to be cleaned. We often sell cabinets in the kitchen where we fit all the kalim. Do we have to go through and clean that?
No.
Speck it in?
No.
Crumbs and all, close it? And
right, just close it, finished. Okay.
You don't even have to make a video there?
No.
Okay. Drawers in the freezer, which are made of two parts, and they're difficult to take apart, and the chametz has gone into their two parts.
If you can take it off easily and get your hands in there, you have to do that and clean it.
No.
If you can't, then if you can't mamish and there's no way of getting to there, you don't have to go and take toothpicks and clean it out, right? Anything that's on the surface that you can get to, you should get rid of.
No, I'm talking about it's in between the two parts. This is the problem. It's a difficult. I asked in the shop, and one person there said, don't take it apart. It can't be done.
Can you vacuum things out?
You can't get in there with a vacuum.
Can you pour something down there?
Yeah, it's already been soaked in bleach water.
Yeah, that's
and
fine.
And then it floated in, and then and that, what happened was, and then it floated in there and got stuck there.
What got stuck?
Some crumbs.
Yeah, the crumbs are ready, bottle mufutlis, you put bleach down there. Yeah, if you can pour bleach, I don't know if you can pour bleach or not, maybe you'll kill the, it's an electric thing, I don't know what it is.
No, it's just the drawers, they're just about the drawers.
Alright, okay, fine. Then pour bleach down there and finish. If you can't pour bleach down there and you can't get to it, you don't have to do anything. That's chomet shenofla v'mapoles, which only needs bittle. Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
The bleach is very bad for anybody with any kind of respiratory problems, asthma or anything. Any kind of, it's not a helpful to use. Can you use any kind of cleaning thing to bottle stuff?
Yeah, but that's probably the same thing as bleach. Something that would render the things inedible is doesn't have to be bleach. If you use the bleach, just don't breathe.
Vinegar and soap.
When you're doing it. They, yeah.
If children's toys are used, my mother would come in, so like my daughter's clay dishes, are they? Is it okay to clean that, or should they really be put away?
Her play dishes, she probably has play food on it. Not, she doesn't serve, you don't serve her lunch on it, do you?
Sometimes she does.
Then that's not play dishes, those are real dishes.
Kids put real food on those dishes.
Right, hot food?
No.
No, so just have to wash it. If you serve hot food on it, that's like any dishes, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
If you decide something that's too hard to do, you move the stove or the fridge or the freezer or whatever, and now you've decided it's too much to do that, is it possible to say from now on, I'm not going to do this?
No, not that it's too hard to do. Depends, do you move those things? There's certain things that you never move unless you... Except Pesach. Right. Otherwise, you really never move it, and it's difficult to move.
Yes. At our age, yes. At any age.
Get your husband to do it.
Wait a minute.
Now, if it's movable and people do move it every once in a while, then you should try to move it. If it's really difficult, it's something that people just leave there, and unless like something goes wrong with the oven, you have to buy a new oven, or you have to get behind it, or whatever, you call a professional, that's the only time you move it, then, Mr. Tami, you don't have to move it. If the only time you'd move it is for Pesach cleaning, then you probably don't have to move it.
But for my oven, I never move it except for Pesach cleaning, but it's not heavy, it's not hard to move. But
So maybe you should move it during the year.
What?
So maybe you should move it during the year. In any case, if it's the idea is that if something is set in place and it's really not the custom to move it, if that's where it is, you don't have to take apart your, for instance, you have to pick apart your closets and get behind them, right? Even though theoretically you can do it because they're never taken apart unless you're moving or something like that. So something that is difficult to move, and because of that you never move it, you don't have to move it. If it's just hard to move, but you can, it's something that's movable and supposed to be moved to get behind it, it's on wheels or it's what's it called, it's not that heavy or whatever, then you should get behind it. Okay. Okay, next. Koshering the kitchen. Okay. We're not going to go through all the halachos of how to kasher different kelim pots or whatever. There'll be kashering here sometime before Pesach, and the people who will be kashering know what can be kashered and how it should be kashered. Usually something that was used with water is kashered in boiling water. Something that was used directly on the fire needs libun, right? There's all different kinds of libun, also needs a blowtorch sometimes a little bit less than that. And if you want to use glassware that was not used with hot, just regular glassware that's used at meals and washed with chametz, then you can do milui ve'irui. Milui ve'irui means that you put them into a tub of water, not hot water, regular tap water. They're completely submerged, and you leave them submerged for 3 days, every 24 hours changing the water. But they have to be completely submerged, and total 3 days, changing the water every 24 hours. And that's good for glassware or whatever. No question now. Okay, the let's start with the kalim of the kitchen. A Frigidaire, refrigerator. The and a freezer. Just have to be cleaned well with some kind of cleaning fluid, and the places you can't get to, pour some kind of cleaning fluid that is compatible with you or whatever, or bleach. And you don't have to cover the shelves. Some people have the minute to do it. If you do cover them, you should cover them in a way that they still let the air circulate. Otherwise, you will hurt the motor of your...
They don't have those anymore. They have glass shelves.
They don't have that?
They
have
that. Glass shelves.
They have glass shelves?
They used to be metal shelves.
Okay, whatever. Whatever you do, you can. You don't have to cover them also. That is the refrigerator and freezer. The sink. If you have stainless steel sinks, you can kosher them. You have to kosher them by leaving them 24 hours. Whenever you kosher something, with certain exceptions, but normal, whenever you kosher things with water, you have to leave them 24 hours without using them for hot. And they should be clean. And the sink, preferably you should heat up metal or stones and put them around the sink, and then pour boiling water, mamish boiling to a rolling boil, into the sink so it covers all the different parts and over the spigots where the water comes out. And you should pour some kind of strong cleaning fluid or bleach down the drain. So in case anything backs up on Pesach, whatever's backing up is bottle. Okay, that if you don't have a stainless steel sink, then there's another possibility how to kosher a sink. But I don't advise you doing it. You can kosher it with a blowtorch. It doesn't have to get red hot, because if it does, you're probably going to ruin your sink. But it just has to get hot enough that... if you put a tissue on it, it'll get black and what's it called, start to burn. If you have a blowtorch and you want to do both, make the sink, even if you just make the sink hot to the touch, and then pour the boiling water, because there's a little bit of a problem with pouring the boiling water alone, because it doesn't really get boiling to every spot in the sink. Could be it doesn't have to, because your sink doesn't have boiling water flowing into it all the time anyway. So it never has boiling, you never boil up water in the sink. Your hot water comes out of the spigot, and it usually goes down in one place and then spritzes on other places, which is just like you're koshering it. But if you want to be machmir, you can go lightly over the sink, stainless steel sink, with a blowtorch, and then when it's hot, pour the water in. That'll make sure the water boils everywhere. But you don't have to do that. You don't even have to put the stones and the metal in the sink. Right? If you can, better to put the stones and metal, or to heat the sink up and then pour the boiling water. If you can't, without the stones, without the metal, just with the boiling water from a pot of rolling boil on the stove, immediately pour it into the sink and the shelf that's the extension of the sink, and that koshers it. And then you can use it regular on Pesach. You don't have to cover it, anything. If you don't have a stainless steel sink, you have a enamel sink. So then, the shayish kind of sink that they have, the old sinks, you can't kosher them. Clean them well. Pour something down the drain that would be mevakel anything that's in the drain. Pour boiling water over the spigots. Change the, and here also with this, with your regular stainless steel sink, better to change the what's it called, the filter, because things do get caught in there, whatever. Get a new filter for Pesach, and put in an insert into the sink, a plastic insert or whatever, stainless steel insert, whatever you want to put. The insert shouldn't lie on the bottom of the sink, but should be raised a little bit above, and do all your washing dishes inside that insert. Okay. Next, the what's it called, shayish, on the countertops. So there are all different kinds of shayish. If you have the old kind, you can't kasher that, and there's plenty of cracks in that or whatever. If you have synthetic shayish, you probably can't kasher that either. Real marble, right? And not everything is real marble. If it says marble, sometimes it's mixtures of all different kinds of things. But it's real marble, right? Can be kashered. If it's not real marble, then ask. Some can be, some can't be. In any case, the minig is to cover them anyway. So if you're covering them, you don't really have to kasher them. So cover it with something that is waterproof, thick plastic, or a few layers of aluminum foil, or thick aluminum foil, or whatever, and something that won't, you know, dissolve over Pesach. And there's still an idea, unless you're putting something nice and thick that doesn't let water get underneath it, there's still an idea not to put hot pots directly on the cover of the the countertops on Pesach. Okay. Okay. Next, ovens. If you have a self-cleaning oven, you can just put it on self-clean, and that kashers it. And you can put the racks inside there and other things that need libun. If you have somebody else's racks, you can put them in there and it'll kasher them also. That's a self-cleaning oven. If you have a regular oven, gas or electric, so it is preferable that either you get a Pesach oven or an insert to go inside the oven, then you clean the oven well. You don't have to kosher it, you just have to clean it well and put the insert in. The insert has its own racks. You don't use the regular racks from the year, and the food doesn't come, it's all in contact with the walls of the oven because you have separate walls, a box that goes into the oven. If for some reason you can't do that, you can't get a Pesach oven and you can't get an insert, then you can b'dieved kasher the oven, either electric or gas, by cleaning it well with a strong oven cleaner. And the racks have to be kashered, either with a blowtorch or in somebody's self-cleaning oven. And the rest, the walls of the oven then, can be kashered by leaving the oven on to the highest heat that it goes to for half an hour, whatever, till the heat in the oven reaches the highest temperature it can reach. Okay. That is what's it called, the inside of the oven, the stove top. So if you have gas or electric, if you have electric, just turn on the electric burners and that kashers them. They come red, they're kosher. If you do it at night, they become red a lot faster than if you do it in the daytime. The gas, the leave the gas on. Put maybe a kettle of water on top of the tripod and leave the gas on. The kettle will spread the flame over the whole, what's it called, tripod, and leave it on until it gets hot enough that if it would be in the dark, you would see it glowing, but it doesn't really have to get that hot. Hot enough that if you turn off the flame and you put a tissue on it, it would start, would burst into flame, or it would at least start to smolder. That's the tripods. After you do that, you don't have to cover them. The gas, where the gas comes out itself on a gas thing, you just have to turn the heat gas on with a flame, and that burns out any chametz that's in there. The drip pan should be changed. They have disposable ones, or buy ones for Pesach, and because food drips onto there, and if they're chametz stick, could be a problem of splattering or whatever. So you should have new drip pans, and the area between the burners you should cover, clean well with some kind of oven cleaner, and cover it with two layers of aluminum foil or heavy-duty aluminum foil or something like that. No questions yet. Okay. If you have a, what's it called, a self-cleaning oven, So many times the self-cleaning thing has a thing on the door that closes off and separates between the glass on the oven
not anymore.
Yeah. Okay. People have old self-cleaning ovens. And if you have like that, they should cover the glass. Okay. If not, then you don't have to. Okay. Next. Mixers, food processors should not be koshered for Pesach. If there's some reason why you absolutely need to kosher a mixer or food processor, ask a shayla. Probably be the answer, but you can't do it, but there is some chance that maybe you could. Okay. Dish towels, tablecloths, if they're made out of material, they can just be washed regularly with detergent, and you can use them for Pesach. If they are terraline or plastic, you should get new ones for Pesach. They can't be kosher, and washing them is not enough. Okay. A kumkum. Better to have one for Pesach. Invest in getting a kumkum and using it for Pesach. If you have a kumkum that you never use around chametz, you don't have chametz splattering on it, you never wash it with chametz, it's only used for hot water, you never put your challahs on top of it to heat up, or anything like that, it's totally segregated from chametz, which is probably unusual, then theoretically you can just wash it out good and you can use it for Pesach. If none of those things that I said apply, then get one for Pesach. It's very difficult to kasher a kumkum. Okay. What else? Tables that you eat on should be covered with a covering that you're going to leave on the whole Pesach. Maybe either a tablecloth or something that you leave on the whole Pesach. And then another tablecloth on top of that, or a plastic on top of that or whatever to eat on. Okay. A dishwasher probably should not be koshered for Pesach. If you absolutely need to kosher your dishwasher for Pesach, ask a shayla. Probably the answer will be that the way to do it is so expensive it's connected by another dishwasher. Microwave. Better not to kosher them for Pesach, and they're not that expensive. You can invest in having one for Pesach. If you absolutely need a microwave for Pesach and you can't get another one, then ask a shayla how to kosher it. Sometimes it'll be possible to kosher. Okay, that pretty much covers the kitchen. Any questions now on kitchens? Yeah,
the kitchen. Insert in the sink.
Yeah.
What happens if the drain hole doesn't line up?
If what?
The drain holes of the insert doesn't line up with the drain hole of the drain of the sink.
So?
Is there a problem in the fact that the water now is coming onto the sink itself?
No. No, there's no problem. The water that goes from there is already a klisheni. It's eerie klisheni, and it's not going to cause any problems.
So I don't have to kasher the.
You don't have to kasher the sink. No, you can't kasher anyway.
No. I have a stainless steel sink.
Stainless steel. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's always a problem to kasher because it's a wooden surround and the ceiling,
I understand. With an S.
With an S, yes. It always goes, and the wood starts rotting every year. It gets worse in worse condition every year.
So use an insert, as if you didn't kosher.
Yeah, okay.
So just then it's no better or worse than a sink that you didn't kosher that you can't kosher.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to line up.
Because what's going to happen is the water from the insert is going to go onto the floor of the sink, and
right.
From there run down.
Okay.
There's no problem.
Okay. Yeah.
So my question on tripods is, do the tripods on the gas stove need to be washed and set away aside for 24 hours before you do the koshering?
No, if you kosher them, you're burning everything out of them. That doesn't have to be left for 24 hours, and it doesn't have to be cleaned. The burning it will clean it.
Okay, and if I have an oven, a stove, an oven that I haven't used for a year, if I set it aside for a year, is it been
still has to be koshered?
No,
still has to be koshered.
No, it still has to be koshered, but is it no longer bidi evid if it's
still bidi evid? Still the same thing. Yeah.
Sorry, the Rabbi mentioned about.
Yeah. We'll get back to you. Yeah. What?
The metal ones, could they
On what?
On one of those hot water urns from metal.
Theoretically, yes. But what you'd have to do is boil up water in there, okay, let it run through the spigot, okay, if there's parts that you can't get to in there or whatever, it's electric or it's electric. Yeah, but then then it was around chametz, you was washed it with chametz, splattered chametz on it. Yeah, but so part of that doesn't become kosher because it's below the water level where you have the whole motor there.
It has a like a coil. I think it has a coil inside.
Inside it?
Yeah, you see it.
Okay, then if the boiling water will get to every part of it, okay, then and you can let it run through the spigot, you can kosher. What?
That's
vinegar depends what it's made out of. Vinegar here in Eretz Israel is cider vinegar. It's not chametz. In America, it's grain vinegar. It could be from grains that are not chametz. It could be from chametz. Grain vinegar could be real chametz. But here in Eretz Israel, all the vinegar is cider vinegar. Yeah. Use the highest one.
The highest cycle. And if you have these stainless steel dish racks that are in the cabinets, and you only put like clean dishes in there after you wash them, can you use them? Is there anything that you can do that?
Wash it off very good. You never put hot food there. Just wash dishes.
You can't put anything
there. Yeah, it'd be enough just to wash it off good.
And what if they're plastic?
Same thing. Yeah.
Folding tables that in order to cover it I'd have to stand it up and leave it open the whole of Pesach. Can I take it, wash it, clean it really well, and then when I need to use it, open it up,
yes,
and cover it?
Yes.
Plata for Shabbos? Is it
who?
A plata?
Plata. That's
yeah.
Good. A Shabbos plata, a blech has to have libun with a blowtorch, which will probably ruin it. So get another blech for Pesach. A plata, what you can do is the following. Wash it well, clean it good, and then, what's it called, leave it on to the highest heat that it gets to, and then cover it with something. Probably aluminum foil or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, I understand, but better to cover it any place that could come in contact with the food, because pots touch there, things hot touch the side there sometimes or whatever, things splatter and come back into other things, so it shouldn't be exposed, the part of the countertop that could be splashed on. Yeah.
Should
the
pot not be used for 24 hours before you
kosher
it?
The plata?
No.
Not so pasha. Because that's only libun kal. Basically, if you're covering it and you're doing what I said, then you don't have to leave for 24 hours. Yeah. If you're not going to cover it, then leave it for 24 hours. Yes. Yeah.
If you have a counter that is also like an eating counter, you know, stools under it, but you use it as a general counter also, does that have to be doubly covered like a table?
You're eating on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should cover it double.
Twice.
One cover that remains there and one that's used like a tablecloth.
No, I don't normally put a tablecloth on it.
You know, I hear. You should still have something that's going to remain there. It's not going to come off.
There's something that's always there. But when I'm eating, do we have to put something else there is my question. On top of that.
Probably not. I can't think of a reason why. Yeah, it's probably not. Yeah. And the main thing of having a cover there that's not taken off is because if you just cover with a tablecloth, from time to time take the tablecloth off. And sometimes you But here you're never taking that off anyway, and that's what you eat on. So it shouldn't be a problem. Yeah.
So wooden dining room table.
What?
Wooden dining room table where your ad leaves in the middle.
Right.
How does one ad leaves on Pesach?
You should add them before Yom Tov, and on Pesach, so you cover them when you add them.
But sometimes you don't want the table so big that for that Yom Tov.
Yeah, so then you take it apart, take off the cover, and make it smaller.
Someone can change it.
You can change it during. You know, you can cover it as long as it's when you're eating on it. It's covered. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
They sell these rolls of tablecloths, plastic tablecloths that you open up, put on top of your Shabbos tablecloth, right? When they're folded, they're like four layers.
They're like what?
Four layers.
Yeah.
When they're not open, is that you could just put that on your counter or your table and tape it on the bottom, and there's your four layers right there.
Yeah, fine.
Okay, and that's also good for last slash.
Yeah.
So a question for somebody else. Tammy bar.
A who?
A Tammy bar.
The water filter.
Water.
Cold and hot water dispenser.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you come to the top.
And they can change the filter, but can it be used for Pesach or Hanukkah?
What, hot water comes out and cold water?
There's two taps.
Yeah, push button to get hot water or cold water instantly.
But there's usually two spigots.
You put your cup right in.
What?
There's two spigots, one for the hot, one for the cold.
I understand. And what do you use the hot water for?
You could put a cup of soup mix or coffee right there, and if it's cold, and push the button, fill up hot water on the spot.
Yeah, if you put soup mix in there, which is chametz, it's a problem. And you shouldn't use that on Pesach. It can't be kashered. If you don't use soup mix, you just use things that aren't chametz, coffee, tea, no chametz, and you don't wash it. I don't know how do you wash these things? Do you wash them?
You don't.
No. Yeah. You push
the,
it's a metal box.
Yeah.
Two spigots on it. You could close off the hot water and use the cold on Pesach.
You can use the cold on Pesach if you clean it. And the hot, if you don't ever use it with chametz, you don't clean it with chametz, then there's no reason to have to kasher. Yeah.
I just want to clarify what's still wasn't put on the grate. The grate with the that has to be kasher.
Right. The racks and the oven?
No. The oven has the stove top.
Yeah.
The principle.
If you're not going to use the grate for Pesach, a separate grate, that's not the issue. But, I don't know, my oven really, has the burner where the fire comes out, and then there's a little thing with a
cap, yeah.
I mean, basically, there's a cap that goes where the fire actually comes, will have all the little
holes. Right.
Just
have to turn on the flame.
Clean them and then turn the flame on?
Yeah, and put that cap in the flame so it gets hot, that's all.
Just for like a while?
Right. That doesn't come in contact with the food, it only seems splashed on there or whatever.
It's just like it's under the grate.
Right. Right.
So it just has to,
you just
put it on the fire for a little while?
Right. Okay, next. Hechsherim. Okay, the hechsherim that we use for Pesach are the same hechsherim we use during the year, with the exception where something had a bedatz during the year. And they took off the bedatz and put a chsam sofer on that. Sometimes, not always. That's okay. I can't think of a case where it shouldn't be okay. It should be okay. Right? Where the chsam sofer, where the bedatz sometimes, for extra reasons or chumras, they don't want to give a hechsher or something, not because there's a problem with it, and the chsam sofer then takes it over. So then, if something had, like for instance, I think Pepsi had a bedatz, has a bedatz during the year, and they take it off for Pesach, and they put the chsam sofer on it. That's okay. Because the reason the bedatz took it off was not for a reason that we have any reason not to use it. In that kind of case, it's the same exact thing that the bedatz gives to, and in fact, they pretty much are mashgiach even on Pesach because they don't want to not be responsible for things changing that got the kasher or whatever. So, for all practical purposes, you can use those things. Otherwise, the hechsherim are the same hechsherim as during the year. What else? I just forgot something. The last thing. If you have false teeth that come out, or braces, bite plates and retainers and things like that, right? So preferably what you should do with them is not eat hot chametz with them 24 hours before Erev Pesach, and pour boiling water over them. If you think that's going to ruin them, pouring boiling water, then clean them well. Don't eat hot chametz with them for what's it called, for 24 hours, and you can use them regular. If you want to really be machmir, you can take a blowtorch to your mouth. Okay, what else? Kitnius. Kitnius, we do not consider kitnius, we do consider kitnius peanuts, peanut oil. I think that's available anyway. Canola oil should not be used. It does have a din of kitnius. What's it called? Cottonseed oil, however, we do use. Even though there are people that are sold, don't use cottonseed oil is not kitnius, you can use it. Quinoa is, for all practical purposes, here, kitnius. Somebody who needs it because of health reasons, ask a shayla. There's a big machlokas, the Star K says it's okay, the OU says it's not okay. The okay doesn't say anything, no, the, what's it called? In Eretz Yisrael, it's considered kidneys. And therefore, under normal circumstances, you don't need it for health reasons, you shouldn't use it on Pesach here. Okay, an Ashkenazi is allowed to eat by his Sephardi's house, can't eat kidneys, but he can eat from the kelim the kidneys were made in, even if it was in 24 hours. And therefore, there are things that Sfardim, even when it says ein kitnios, there are different kinds of kitnios that there's a machlokus on. Kitnios shenishtanu, or derivatives of kitnios, and many of the Sfardi hashgachas are makel in those things, even though they eat kitnios too. But when they want to make a hechsher for people who don't eat kidneys, they use things that are, there's kulas that even people who don't eat kidneys can eat that. We don't use those things. So therefore, things that mostly delicatessen has kidneys and ishtanu in it, and therefore you shouldn't use a svardi hechsher for that. Rav Rubin's hechsher does not allow those kind of things, and therefore delicatessen with his hechsher is fine. But the delicatessen with Rav Machbud, especially where it had Rav Reuben, and now it has Rav Machbud, the reason that Rav Reuben doesn't give the hechsher is because they use kidney shenishtanu as the preservatives in those in that delicatessen. Shmura matzah. You should be aware that not every matzah they sell that has a good hechsher is shmura matzah. For the seder, for the kezesim of the mitzvah of matzah, you have to have shmura matzah. We're makbit to have shmura matzah mishas ktsira, from the time the wheat was cut. And that has to say on it, matzah shmura. Whether it's machine matzah, hand matzah, if it has a hechsher that we use, is fine. There are matzahs with hechsherin we use, specifically Rav Machbud, that are soft matzahs. Those we don't use. Even though there's probably no reason why not, but that's not our Mesorah. Shlomo Zalman Orbach says not to use them. However, there are poskim who say that even an Ashkenazi can use them, even if you don't have that Mesorah. And therefore, somebody who wants to rely on those Rabbanim can and eat it. But for the Kehila here, it's not acceptable. Okay. What else? Okay, then if you don't, for the rest of Pesach, you can use regular matzah, but it has to be 18-minute matzah. Meaning that the machines, this is only by machine. Hand matzah is no such thing. There's either shmura or there's nothing. Right? It's all shmura matzah. Talking now about machine matzah. There's two kinds of machine matzah. One, matzah shmura, which you can use for the seder, for the mitzvah matzah, And then there is what's called chai regoyim, which is mahadrin regular machine matzah. That can be used here. You can't use the regular machine matzah that's not 18-minute matzah, where they don't clean out the machines every 18 minutes. And therefore, products that use matzah meal that are not mahadrin products use regular matzah meal, like OU products from the States, gefilte fish or whatever. The mahadrin products here don't use matzah meal anyway because they are makbid on gebrochs. So there's no really problem. But if you get like an American product with matzah meal in it, and it has a good hechsher, but it's not good because the matzah meal is regular matzah meal. And we don't use that. Okay.
What about osim?
What?
Osim.
What? Os?
Osim also has stuff with matzah meal in it.
And if it's regular matzah meal, it's no good.
It doesn't say, it just says in it matzah meal.
What?
It doesn't say, it just says
in
it matzah meal.
If it says only regular matzah meal, then it's probably regular.
Not
yeah, I doubt if they... If they, yeah. they
Yes.
Okay. If it is, then you shouldn't use it. Okay. Okay, we said about this. Gebrochts, what's it called? If you have the minig not to eat gebrochts, then you shouldn't use anything that's prepared with matzah meal unless it's baked. Any cooked things you can't use, obviously. Egg matzah or matzah cookies and crackers and things like that are all made with fruit juices and or eggs, and we don't eat them. Only what's it called, people who are sick and can't eat regular matzah can eat that. But otherwise, egg matzah and all the Sephardi matzah cakes are okay for Sephardim. They do eat egg matzah. But for Ashkenazim, you can't use it unless you need it for health reasons. Okay, mechiras chametz. Some people have the minig not to sell chametz gomor. If you don't sell chametz gomor, it's a big shaila whether you can sell whiskey. The halacha wise, you can sell all your chametz gomor too, and there's no reason, no real reason not to. It's a chumrah. If you have that chumrah, fine. If you don't, then you can sell your chametz. If you're going away for Pesach, but you are renting out your house or letting people live in your house, then the places where people are going to be, you have to make bedikas chametz, and you have to clean for Pesach. If you're closing up your house and you're, what's it called, going away for the whole Pesach, and nobody's going to be in the house, you don't have to do anything. You just have to close the house up and sell it. Sell the chametz in the house. And preferably, if you're doing that, you should sell your chametz on the 13th of Nisan. On the 12th of Nisan, instead of the... No, yeah, on the 13th of Nisan, the day before Erev Pesach. Instead of Erev Pesach itself. If you can't, then there are people in Kiryat Sefer that sell chametz on the 13th. Preferably you should do that. If you can't, then you can sell it with a regular sale, and it's still okay. You don't have to make bedikas chametz the night before. Okay, since you're going to sell it, your intention is to sell it. Anything that's not real chametz, kidneys, things that were cooked in chametz things or whatever, or don't have a hechsher for Pesach, you can wrap up and need to be refrigerated. You can wrap up separately and keep them in your refrigerator where it's clear that they are things that you can't use on Pesach or in your freezer. Things that are real chametz, so that includes, let's say, chickens that were not kosher for Pesach, but they're not chametz stick. You can wrap them up, keep in your freezer for Pesach. Things that are real chametz can't be put into the freezer or the refrigerator unless you're closing off that freezer completely. Same thing goes with aronot, cabinets. You can't keep real chametz things, even wrapped up, in the same cabinet that you're keeping things that you're going to use for Pesach. But you can keep kidneys there, whatever, wrap it up good, mark it that it's not usable for Pesach, and you can keep it in the same cabinet. But something that's real chametz has to be segregated in its own cabinet and closed up so you won't come to open that cabinet. Okay. Any questions on these things? Yeah.
Whiskey, that's considered real chametz, the cabinet, same cabinet.
cabinet?
Whiskey, yeah. Whiskey you can't keep in the same cabinet. That's real chametz, yeah. I'm not sure. If you see the heksher on something that had a decent heksher before and they took it off, then ask and we'll check it. That's usually where the problem is. Yeah.
I wanted to ask, if you only have one freezer and you want to section off an entire shelf and you put a big piece of paper in the front saying chametz or something, so it's completely blocked off and you can't get into it, is that...
So you're segregating one shelf in the...
One whole shelf.
In the past, it says better not to do that, but if you don't have another... If you have an eitzah of leaving in somebody's freezer or selling their freezer, do that. Okay. If you have no other eitzah, then if you segregate a complete shelf, that should be okay too.
What about if I have something that may be contaminated with chametz, like a big thing of peanut butter, and I don't want to throw
away... That's same thing that you can...
I can sell that, because there might be crumbs... In it.
Yeah, you can sell it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
When we sell our chometz, we also sell the kalim, right? That's included.
No.
No.
Okay,
I have dishes in my mother's garage. They're kosher, they're my stuff, they're stored in that garage. Does that address have to be on my list when I sell
yes.
my
permits? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a silverware that probably hasn't been used in 40 years. I just got it. If I'm going to hug all of the silverware, can I just vacuum out the box and use it for these up, or do I have to put it in a different silverware?
No. If the box looks clean, you can leave it in the box. Yeah, just there's no crumbs in the box or whatever. 40 years, you know. Make sure there's nothing else in the box.
Aluminium baking pans.
Yeah, the pans themselves don't need really a heksher for Pesach. But here you can get easily with the heksher for Pesach. If it's not more expensive, bedavka, then get the ones with the heksher. The covers, which have part cardboard, those could be a problem. Those you have to have a heksher for Pesach.
Okay, the next question was paper, hot cups made of paper with a heksher for chutz.
They have a heksher?
Chutz and sefer.
It's okay.
What? And what about...
Hot cups made out of paper, but they're waxed in the inside also. Right. Usually, yeah. And they have a chutz and sefer, they're okay.
Yeah, okay. And what about...
Any paperware... aluminum foil, plastic, aluminum things really don't need a heksher for Pesach. But if you can get it with a heksher, get it with a heksher. Unless it's they raise the price to get with the heksher, they get the regular one. If it has a heksher, even some sofa or something that we don't normally use, good enough.
What about ordinary plain drinking water with a heksher from Chuk?
Ordinary plain drinking water with a heksher from Chuk, some sofa is okay.
Mineral water.
It's okay.
Mineral water from the tap?
Regular
water from the tap.
Regular water from the tap is the same thing as the mineral water from the thing. Except some people are machmir not to have water from the tap because it comes from reservoirs where maybe somebody dropped a sandwich in or something. We're not machmir like that. Right? Some people only filter their water and get it Erev Pesach and only drink from big vats that they... prepare Erev Pesach. If you don't do that, you can drink water from the tap. Yeah.
I have a question that probably nobody else here would just ask.
Yeah.
The feed for the chickens and the goats.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. Taka. Animal feed has to be kosher to Pesach because you can't have enjoyment from it. Not only that, but I don't know what, some dog foods, I used to go, what's it called, a week or two before Pesach, to the supermarket in Miami and check out the dog foods and cat foods. And some people were looking like, really, things must be really bad for these Jews, that they have to... first of all, they can be osur the whole year because they're basar b'cholov. They're mamish milk and meat cooked together, which is osur. Depends what the meat is. If it's horse meat, it's not a problem. But if it's beef, even though it's treif, you can't give it to your dog. Not because the dog has to keep kosher, because you're getting enjoyment out of basar b'cholov. I don't know what goats, chickens, or whatever eat, what the feed is. Chametz, people have fish. Fish food is almost for sure chametz. So you can't feed your fish regular fish food. There's substitutes. There's freeze-dried worms that you can feed your fish that are Pesach dick.
Feed the matzah.
What?
Feed the matzah.
Feed the matzah, they'll kill the fish.
Sure.
Right. They probably depends if your fish eat the brachs or not.
Feed
them.
For domestic animals, the pets...
Who?
For domestic animals, the pet store in Shila...
Has kosher Pesach food?
They have kosher Pesach food for dogs and cats.
Okay. I was going to do that in Chutz Laretz as a business and give a hechsher of a K-9 on it. Yeah.
They had it in Chicago. I remember last time I was there for Pesach about 10 years ago and we got kosher for Pesach food.
Okay. But thank you, it has to be kosher Pesach, and a lot of the animal food is not kosher Pesach.
The havdil from the animals, the young children and babies, they have formula and other kind of foods that are kidneys.
So you just keep it separate from your rest of the thing. Babies can have kidneys. People who are sick, children that need that, can eat kidneys. Just you should keep it separate, not clean it in the sink or whatever. Yeah. Medications, ask on a one-to-one basis. Okay, cosmetics. The cosmetics that are problematic are ones that have alcohol in them and are not, totally not edible. Perfumes, colognes, spray deodorants, those things, if they have alcohol, you shouldn't use them unless they have a hechsher for Pesach. There's some here that they do produce for Pesach. If they don't have alcohol in them, usually it says SD, specially denatured alcohol. That could be a problem. If they're solid cosmetics, even lipstick, as long as it's not flavored, better to get a new thing of it, it's all okay. You don't need a hechsher for Pesach. Solid cosmetics, rouge, these kind of solid things, eyeliner, and all the things that are mamish poison, like nail polish remover, those things don't need a hechsher for Pesach. Drugs, the ones that are syrups that taste good, those are the worst problem, and they have alcohol in them, many of them, cough syrups or whatever, those are the worst. Other kinds of drugs, if you need them and they're life-threatening, obviously take them. If you can find one that's not a problem, even if drugs that you just swallow whole or whatever, which are less of a problem, check, and it's usually something you can get that's kosher l'Pesach. What's it called? All kinds of creams and inhalers and powders are all okay. Yeah.
The things that are with alcohol in it, is there a difference between like acetyl alcohol or ethyl?
Yes, acetyl alcohol is okay. Rubbing alcohol is okay. The alcohol that's a problem is ethyl alcohol, which methyl alcohol is okay. Ethyl alcohol can be chametz, it could be not chametz. It's grain alcohol, ethyl alcohol.
And should we sell those? Should we put them with the sale items? And
yeah, you should, what's it called, put them with your chametz.
Can we freely use the kupat cholim list?
You can use the kupat cholim list, yeah. All the lists are the same, just basically they're all okay.
And they're all okay.
Shampoos, unless they have oats in them, or real chametz, if it says on the ingredients, right, then they're okay to use. Soap, same thing.
Bar soaps?
Bar of soaps are okay.
Bar soap with oatmeal in it.
What? With oatmeal, they get one without the oatmeal. Yeah.
I remember last year I asked about hand sanitizer, if that was chametz, and everybody laughed like, no, you don't drink it. I saw an article that kids in America are drinking hand sanitizer to get high. So that would make it chumas, right?
No. No, because hand sanitizer is not alcohol, I don't think. It's, I don't know what's in it, but it's they sniff glue to get high too. That does not have alcohol in it or anything chametz. It just has chemicals. The hand sanitizer is probably just chemicals. Yeah. People drink toilet cleaner, you know, it doesn't make it no good. It makes them, I don't know, maybe... Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's say something like spices that has remarkable texture on it for Pesach. Is that a problem? It usually has a Reuben, but sometimes it's a Reuben.
Yeah, spices could be a problem with a Sfaradi Hechsher. Better to get spices with a good Hechsher and not one that the other Hechsher was taken away. It depends. Ask on a case by case. Yes.
Okay, and other questions, the hand creams,
hand creams are okay. What? Hand creams don't need a hechsher for Pesach.
Any
hand cream. Unless, again, I don't know if there's hand creams that have, you know, mamish chametz in it.
No, but you have to check if it has alcohol or something.
No, you don't have to check. Alcohol is no problem.
What?
Nobody eats hand cream. Right. It's not edible, even for a dog. Yeah, even with alcohol. Drunks drink hair tonic, maybe, like, they drink, what's it called, colognes, but they don't eat hand creams. Yeah. OUP?
Yeah, it has an OUP and it has
Ramah.
Then
I
mean, it has Ramah.
The OUP is probably okay. Things.
Two things. One is we have an aquarium for fish, and usually we get a weekly feeder that we put in and instead of a whole aquarium for Pesach. So maybe it makes it easier for people to do such a thing if they don't have to feed the fish on Pesach because you put in something and then you don't have to feed it for a whole week.
But what are you feeding them?
But we sell the aquariums. Even if it's comics that we're putting in, then we sell the whole aquarium for Pesach.
If it's in your house, it's not so posh. You make sure you get kosher to cook a piece of food. It's, you can't, even though you're selling it to the goy, whatever, the goy doesn't have the chametz in his house, you're not segregating it. It's not so posh. When they used to have, you know, animals that they had to feed chametz to, they had to take it out of the house and put in the goy's rishos. You can't have a goy's chametz feeding a goy's animal in your house. That's what
you're not touching it the whole week.
What?
You're not touching it the whole week. You're not feeding it every day. You put it in
before. I understand, but it's your house. It's your pet. Even though you sold the fish to the goy.
Yeah, everything, the whole aquarium.
You have to put separate on the mechiras chametz. That's not. Fish and aquariums aren't included in the mechiras chametz. You have to sell the chametz to the goy, the fish to the goy separately.
So can you write it on?
Even that's not lechatchila, because if the animal remains in your house, you can't do that. Even if you have kids that need chametz to eat, you sell the chametz to the goy, you have to bring the kid to the goy's house to feed him. The goy can't come to your house. That's not so simple if you could do such a thing.
Another question, Olsen ketchup that usually during the year is badatz.
It's still badatz.
Okay.
We do charlap for Pesach.
Yeah, we use rough charlap anyways, okay. The ketchup's okay. Yeah.
Somebody left the chul and bought some alcohol in duty free.
Yeah.
And he came back after Pesach.
It's probably chametz over al pesach, unless he sold it with his chametz.
They bought on the way out.
They bought on the way out.
It's waiting.
If they include it in the mechir, it should be okay.
You could, yeah. It's your chametz. You could sell it, Mustafa.
Goy has no way of getting to it.
What?
Goy has no way of getting to it.
Why? It's yours. If you want to get to it, you could get to it too.
No.
Come back. Yeah. Why?
No, you can't. You sell the chametz to Mahmoud. The theory Mahmoud could come on Chol HaMoed and say, "I want to give you $1 million. I want all my chametz."
Right.
But he can't get to the locked up place in the duty free in Natbag.
Why not? He can go and say, "I have thing." When you pick it up, how do you get to it?
Only when you,
you come back.
It only really becomes into your rishus when you come back on that date.
Well, no, you need a ticket to get to it.
It's an abundant warehouse, basically.
Yeah, it's in a warehouse somewhere. You can't
it's
get
an abundant
to it.
Warehouse.
You who can't belongs, have who does it belong to?
The question is as follows:
it belongs to you, but you can't get it.
No, no. Wait a minute. I'll tell you what the question is. If it would burn down, to whom does the insurance company pay the thing? Because that, I think, is the legal thing.
Who does it belong to?
If it would burn or get stolen, who has the responsibility to pay?
You paid for it already.
Yeah.
It's basically yours.
But you can't get it.
But I can't get to it until I come back with
If you leave the country and you buy, go to duty free, buy a few bottles of a particular kind of something, and you say, "I'm coming back on the 25th of the month," and you just, you know, you had an unforeseen thing, you came back on the 20th, and you walk on the Delpac, say, "I want my stuff." They'll say,
It's not here.
It's in a warehouse somewhere. You can't have it. You can't get to it. It's not here. It's only waiting for you the day you come back.
You didn't make a Kenyan.
You actually brought it to the cashier.
You buy it to the cashier. You pay for it. You take it out. Then they send it up to the elevator.
So the warehouse is holding it for you. Mustam, you could still sell it like that, but I wouldn't do it. It's, again, I don't know exactly how it works, but it probably if you sold it, it'd be okay after Pesach.
There's another problem, buying at the airport after Pesach is different.
Okay, that pretty much. Does everything want to cover? Yeah.
This probably okay OUP. What does that mean?
Who?
The probably okay OUP.
The best of my knowledge, they don't use things that we don't approve of, except for the matzah meal products. Otherwise, they don't use kidneys. OUP from Israel, for sure, is okay. And OUP in Chutz La'aretz, 99% sure that if it has citric acid or something, they only use citric acid. It's not kidney's derivative. That's what I understood. Last year somebody told me not like that. I'll check it again. But OUP Eretz Yisrael is for sure okay. Everything. Except the things with matzah meal, but I don't think they have anything like that. I don't think they have anything.
It always says if it's OU from America or OU here.
If the products are made here, they're OU here. If they're made in Chutz La'aretz, they're OU in America.
It says OU Israel.
Yeah.
The aquarium, if I'm not selling it, do I have to clean it? It's like a big chair, I have to take everything out and clean it. There may be chametz on the things inside it.
No, the fish ate it, or it's okay. Not edible by anything else if you're not feeding the mamish chametz fish. It's chametz too. Whatever's left in there is probably not edible. The fish aren't eating it either. Yeah, but you can't feed those fish chametz that you want. That chametz that's called rotza b'kiyumo. It's not. You shouldn't do that. Yeah.
I bought cans of tuna that usually have the dark texture, and now they're in oil, and now they have only around a new kosher inside.
It's probably kidneys.
So, but is it kosher? Like, can I eat it?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Somebody that doesn't eat the gebrachts.
What?
Somebody that doesn't eat gebrachts. Can he eat from kalim? But does he usually?
That depends what his minig is.
Different minhagim.
Right. That's the gebrachts really depends. Some people don't eat. I don't know. They don't eat if there's any liquids on the table. The chalal. Some people use butter. Some people don't use butter. That's really depends what your minig is. Okay. Any other questions? If not, we'll. Make room for the next
Stay in that question.